At the end of this week's podcast, right after the closing jingle, we have another bonus interview for you. This one is super cool. It's with a guy that we absolutely love and respect. His name is Richard Casper from CreativeVets. It's an organization that helps our veterans, helps them with their healing, helps them with their understanding of where they are in life and what they've been through and how they can push forward. It is fantastically awesome. I'm telling you, we're big fans of the organization and the dude, Richard Casper. Again, that's at the end of the podcast, right after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast, Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast, Big D and Bubba podcast.
I would like to say hello and thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts sponsoring the podcast. Okay, thank you. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Every day.
Woo!
Country Club.
Oh, I got a gold for you guys. This is a very interesting gold.
Right door is open.
Yes.
That is the old sound from a Nissan in the late 80s, early 90s. They had cars that would talk if your door was open.
I think this was like 1985.
Mid-80s, early 90s. And the car, whether it was a Maxima or whatever, you would open the door and the car would say,
right door is open.
And my dad used to run this body shop, like a car repair place, and he showed me the voice box on this old Datsun, and it was a little record player of sorts. It was a little phonograph that was inside the dash, tucked in there, about maybe 4 inches long at the most, and it was like a little bit bigger than a deck of cards, and it would pick different tracks to say different things.
Right door is open.
And that was my favorite one because she just sounds cute. Because I'm a weird
so
dude.
So breathy.
Right door is open.
Right door is
right
open.
Right door is open.
Open.
She's like desperate to tell you the right door is open.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
What are you crushing?
Just the pressurization hull collapsing.
On the airplane?
On the airplane.
We were flying one night, Carson, and we're in my old plane, and it was pressurized. And so Bubba would sit in the very back, and
I'd lay down.
He'd sleep.
I had a blanket back there and everything. I'm like,
and
good
so
night.
It was me and
was Donnie?
Instrument instructor, and we were doing some long trip. It's a long trip, and we always like taking Donnie with us when we could because he was.
You have a third
better.
Pilot in the plane.
He's just,
so.
Yeah, he's just, mm-hmm. yeah. So, anyway, it's quiet. Just the hum of the engine. And we're just listening. We got our headphones on. We're not listening to any music. It's just quiet. Just listen to the air traffic control. And middle of the night, we hear. I got chills. They were multiplying. And
he thought the actual fuselage of the plane was collapsing
in
upon itself.
Oh my gosh.
Donnie freaked out.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he was like, what?
What was
back,
that?
And we look back and Bubba's there with his headphones on. He goes, what? He just crushed a bottle.
I have questions about that story. So you said you weren't listening to music. Can you listen to music?
Oh yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be listening to air traffic control?
You can do both. Okay, so in the airplane, the headphones, if you're listening to music, it will mute the music. So it'll be like this.
And you were back.
They'll give out whatever. And when they're done making their announcement.
It's like when I'm in my car.
It turns it back up.
Okay, when you've got Waze going
podcast,
the same time.
I just want to turn
yes.
right.
Okay, also, so you're flying along. Now, he's got a blanket in the back. Are there heaters in those planes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like being in a car. Like you have temperature control?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a heat and air conditioner.
I mean, it would make sense because you're flying high-ish, so it's colder up there.
Was it your older plane that had the air conditioner that wasn't an air conditioner? Like
oh, my first plane had
ice chest.
It was. Oh, yeah. Yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah.
The swamp cooler.
Yeah, so my very first plane was a Cessna 172. That's the one that you always see that crashes. And
because there's so many
there's
of them.
There's so many of them.
That's why. It's not that they're more dangerous.
Is that the one like JFK Jr. died in?
No. He was in a really... What was he in?
I don't remember.
I don't know. He was a plane that didn't work. Or he didn't. I don't know. But
it wasn't the plane.
172s are the most common single-engine plane.
Okay. Right?
And so, yeah, so it didn't have air conditioning. It would get hot. It had vents. That worked pretty well, but it you know, it would get really, really warm.
On a summer day, it got very stuffy.
Especially on the ground, just taxiing out and all the ground stuff, it gets hot. And so it just had a, it was a cooler. I bought it from somebody made it for pilots, or for anything really, but mainly for pilots.
I didn't know.
That it's a ice chest, like a hard plastic, you know, the ice chest.
Yeah.
And then you actually have to put ice in it.
Put ice in it
before
you
fly.
You put about, you know, yay so much water so that the little pump is in submerged in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had a, like a, I don't know how air conditioning works, but it had like a thing on top.
It had a fan that would blow air over the ice in the water, and then that would
come out the top. And it had holes in the top drilled out of the lid of the ice chest, and it had these ducts that you would stick on there, and they were adjustable, like
you could point
arms,
them.
And it's like really like that this long, and you could bend them so that you could point air towards your back of your neck.
Looked like
stuff.
Robbie the Robot arms.
Yeah,
wow.
It worked. It was really effective.
Yeah,
and you just did you find it?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, it might be.
I looked almost identical to
that. That looks good if I'm out tailgating. If I walked onto a plane and saw that, I would.
Well, I remember
away.
My brother made one
plane
for mine.
It was like a car. It wasn't like.
You're still going in the air. There's no road under you. So,
yeah. Well, but while you get back there in the plane, will you grab the ice chest? That's actually the air conditioner.
I knew guys who would put beer in it. They would put beer in it so when they got where they're going.
Oh, my God.
That's
they
just brilliant.
It was just an ice chest. So you would just they would just use that to.
Wow.
So that way, that was that's how you celebrate your landing. You just show up and you're like,
hey,
pop the cold one.
We have equal number of landings as takeoffs.
That's a win.
Yay! That is. I mean,
I will sit around and at the house outside like a fire pit night. And do you listen to ATC?
Yeah,
sometimes.
I do
too, man.
Charlie cross runway 27 left, right on November.
I know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, right on November, Delta 988.
So that's a ground control telling this Delta.
26 left, taxi the ramp, procured 5703, thanks.
When you look out the window when you're on an airplane, you see like the different signs. They're yellow and they'll have numbers or letters and things like that. That's what he's saying. He's saying turn left on November on runway N. And that way he knows, taxiway N.
Do you know
so
what
they
I
know
see when
go.
I see those? I'm looking for perfect squares. So I need like a 16 or a 4, a number that has a square root to it, or I'm looking for my lucky numbers, or I'm looking for my initials based on those, because that hopefully means the plane's not going to crash.
Okay, so do you know what the numbers mean?
No, I just know that I need to see the number 13.
The numbers are runway headings, like compass headings. So if you see a 13, that means it's heading 1-3, and that's how you know what's up. So
it's 130 degrees.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If I see a 10, I'm like, we're going to die.
It's 10 on the runway?
Yeah, because like I can't do anything with a 10. It's not a square root. Because even like 8, I can go, well, 4 times 2 is 8, and 4 is a square, like 4 has a square root.
Boy,
but like 10 is...
You're so complex. More than I realized.
Do you have like crystals and everything at home too?
No, it's because I hate that. Like I'm so terrified of flying that's what happens in my little brain. Like, no, so I don't actually believe in numerology until it is time for me to board a metal death tube. Don't think any of it matters.
You're fascinating. I mean, seriously,
other thing that I will do is I will get on the plane and y'all would hate me. And I mean, you've flown with me, but not this way. Like I start talking to everybody around me.
Oh, you've done that with me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Because I know you, but I will talk. Like, I mean, I'm friendly, but man, you have never seen me more friendly on a plane. Because I'm like, well, we're not gonna crash because now I've made a friend.
Dude,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
You didn't sit next to Carson on one of those flights, did you?
No,
so we're flying.
I knew better.
We're flying, and Carson the whole time is every time something would happen, you get a little bump or whatever. She'd immediately look at me. and check to see if I was reacting. Yep. And I'm like, what's up? She's like, I'm just watching to see if you're freaked out.
Mind
I'm like,
you, no, there's a woman that's... sitting in between us. So I'm talking over her to talk to Bubba the whole time.
And he's usually on a commercial flight. Well, any flight. He just sleeps.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, can't yeah.
How many
Guess
times,
what? He wasn't sleeping on that flight.
How many times he and I have been flying it. And like he's right next to me, right seat. And like I needed something, and he's out. Plane. He's out. I have so many. I have I can't tell you dozens and dozens of pictures of him sleeping, because you know you're just sitting there, you're bored, and you know, he's over there, and I hear I'm here.
Good for you.
Which, by the way, is impressive because the squelch I would turn up way high. So
and so
that's a good snore if it's picking up on the mic.
Wow, look at that. So I'd reach over there and I'd take a picture and take another one, and then something. Then he would like. Like he would wake up and then act like he wasn't sleeping. Yeah. Did you get your picture taken? Did you take it? Yeah, I got it. I took your picture. I know you did. I watched you. No, you didn't. You were asleep snoring. I wasn't sleeping.
I love it. So great. Yeah, what I do remember is the one time that D was sitting near me on a flight. We're taking off and he looks above it and he goes, oh man, did you hear that? I think it's the carburetor. I'm like, even I know that's not a thing on
the
a plane.
Carburetor.
We have.
Do you know what a carburetor is?
No, but I know it's not on a plane.
Oh.
Or at
What's
least I
on?
Thought it was.
What's a carburetor on?
A car.
That's why they call it a carburetor. Yeah. Duh. I mean, otherwise we'd be in a plane
carburetor.
Oh.
Does your car have a carburetor?
I don't know, because I only see it referenced in movies from the 70s and before.
Because your car is not from the 70s or before.
Right, that's why I don't know if it has
it. So you do not have a carburetor
look at
on
that.
Yours.
Okay.
Yours is fuel injected. My Chevelle has a carburetor.
Has a carburetor, yeah.
Yes.
That's
You
amazing.
Can play with the carburetor. He can pop his hood, and you can rev the engine from under the hood, which is always
fun. Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Cool. Yeah.
Someone learned something today.
I did. I'm like, oh, look at that.
And you know what else we learned?
Right door is open.
Open. How do you get that job?
I don't know.
A job saying those things.
I remember we took a family vacation, and we were in Eagle, Colorado. Eagle, Colorado. We went to go skiing. Well, I didn't, but they did. And we were there. And we had some icing issues coming down. That's a great learning experience for me. And we were leaving after a couple of days, and we were going from there, and we were going to San Diego. And it's real busy. It's in the winter. You know, it's like December 23rd or so, right before Christmas. And it's all private jets and airline. And it's a small little runway. It's not a huge terminal or all that. It's one single runway. And you take off, and it goes straight into a mountain. So you have to take off and climb, do a hard left, and then climb, and then kind of make your way over that mountain, and then go on where you're going. And so I got a lot of stuff going in my mind about, how much do we weigh, and the density, the blah, blah, blah. Luckily, it was cold, so it's easier. And I go to take off and rolling down the runway, and I hear another plane say, 210, you've got your baggage door just opened. And I said, oh, okay. And I boarded the takeoff. Get out. And what had happened was the baggage door where you put all your luggage and stuff, it's on the back of the plane, on the back tail. And there's a big door that comes up and you put your stuff in. It had popped open. It's spring loaded.
Those latches, by the way, are the worst constructed thing ever. On every plane you ever get on history.
All of them.
They're like the worst latches.
Even in the King Airs, they're terrible.
They're terrible. It's
I know. You would think that that would be a.
No, they
it's
don't.
Not
it's the worst.
Bad. They're all bad.
I know we're inspiring confidence in you, but it's like I'm sure this.
I don't care if my luggage doesn't make it as long as I do.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like they obviously spent the money elsewhere than those luggage latches.
So I turn around, go back, get out. I park, get out. Sure enough, it's open. Put it back down. Make sure the latch is right and closed and everything's fine. Go back here, take off again, going down the runway. And now the tower already knows that this has already happened. And as I'm going, same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Semi-chromio, abort takeoff, your door just popped open again. So then I'll pull back, get with maintenance, and the guy, he's like looking at it, he goes, well, I don't have, like, you know, if you want to replace this latch, I don't have, like, you have to order that,
right,
and it's going to take, it's 2 days before Christmas, mm-hmm, whatever. So,
and it's $1,000.
And it's $1,000. And that was a joke. Everything in the airplane's $1,000. So he took speed tape and we closed it and then put speed tape all around it and taped it up. Now, speed tape looks like duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's silver, looks, yep, just like it. There was a video not too long ago of the other week. Maybe you showed it to me, where somebody was out in their plane, yep, like a commercial flight, and a guy was on the engine and he was putting,
yes,
they thought it was duct tape. And yeah, like, oh, like, my gosh, we're going to die.
Yep.
He's fixing it with duct tape.
Yep.
No, it wasn't. And so it was so janky looking. I was so embarrassed because here I am in the single prop plane trying to feel like I'm one of the big boys in these multi-million dollar you know, jets all around me. And I've got, you know, duct tape, quote unquote, but it held and,
yeah, I mean,
got it back and got it fixed.
You're still here
in San Diego. I get landed in San Diego.
Your luggage door is open.
Land in San Diego at night and, got a flat tire.
Oh my gosh.
What is it with us and, wow, flat tires, by the way?
I know. Bob and I had a great, story on flat tires on my first plane, the 172. We landed, we were coming back from an appearance. And we were in, do you know the city?
Jonesboro, Arkansas is where we landed.
Mm. To get
it
gas.
It was a fuel stop.
And it was a Sunday in the afternoon. And we got fuel, got some coffee, peed, whatever. And go to leave, start the engine up, and I give it throttle. And, like, we're not moving. Like, it's like. We're, like something, so those chalk, you know, things they put in front of the wheels, mm-hmm, to keep from rolling.
Yep.
And so I'm like, oh man, we didn't pull the chalks in front of the wheel. So Bubba looks out. Do you remember you looking out, getting, yeah, out and looking?
Yeah. I'm like, nope, kill it.
He goes, hey, look, and he goes,
does a little
deal with to the neck, you know, the old
kill it.
Flat tire. And I'm like, oh. Guy comes out, he goes, well, maintenance thing, you know.
It was. Oddly enough, it was Martin Luther King weekend, and it was on a Sunday, and they're like, yeah, there ain't gonna be maintenance here till Tuesday. You're stuck.
And so Bubba goes, like, Bubba says, this is the best thing about Bubba. I love Bubba. You know, it's just a tire. I said, yeah. He goes,
fix a flat
to do that. I'm like, dude, first off, I'm like, dude, we're not putting, okay, yes, I'm in.
By the way, 20 plus years I've been doing this. That's how long it takes to bring D around, yep, sometimes on, yep, Bubba's stupid idea. So, Bubba has a bad idea. D goes, listen, we're not going to.
Son,
okay,
of a gun, I'm in.
So we go to the line guy. We're like, hey, do you have any fix a flat? They're like, for a plane? Like, yeah. No. I'm like, okay, well, let's go get some. So we borrow what they call the crew car, which is most airports have one available. We borrow their car. We go to a gas station, buy a little bags of combos and fix-a-flat.
If you
combos
don't know what fix-a-flat is, it comes in a can. You in like an aerosol can, like Lysol. Or
you keep put it in your trunk.
You, yep, screw it onto the tire, and then you... It inflates the tire, but it's not just air. It's got this like a foam
yeah, that goes into it.
That will gum
seal,
up whatever.
Seal up whatever.
If it's, yeah, if it's a small leak.
Yeah, we didn't
it'll
know.
Work for a short amount of time.
So wait, so we get back to the airport after we do that. We put the fix-a-flat in. We inflate the tire to where it needed to be. And then we didn't have anything to measure it. Do you remember what we did?
Yep, so because we didn't know if it's losing air. Like, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. We didn't want to take off with this tire and have it not...
Yeah,
be a
like
seal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're like, let's give it an hour and let's see what's happening. So to mark the time, I mean, to mark the thing, I took a stick and a Sharpie pencil and I marked where the rim was in relation to the ground. I held it up to it, marked it, and then we're like, well, let's go to McDonald's. And we made a McDonald's run and we killed, yep, like an hour, maybe
That's
90
clever,
minutes.
Yeah.
And we came back and put the stick there and it was the same. It never changed. So we're like, hey, looks like it's holding. So
I'll
we decided
forget.
To go.
I'll never forget.
Wow.
We took off, we rotated, and we're like 50 feet off the ground. And I look at Bubba and I go, you know it's flat right now, right? He goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. It's completely flat, no doubt.
And I was like, because of the change in pressure when you go that high, it could have messed it up. I don't know.
Not at 50 feet. But
yeah. Well, not at 50 feet. No, yeah, but when you get up there.
We were say low anyway, like 3,000. And we get back to Nashville. It's at night. We're going into BNA, the big airport, and because that's where I was keeping it at the time. And landed, and it was – I was trying to do a soft field landing, which is where you just go as slow as you possibly can with full flaps, low airspeed, and you just – you land on the two main wheels, and you just ride a wheelie down the runway and just let it slowly touch. And as it's touching – Bubba's got the yoke all, because it's dual yokes, he's got the yoke all the way back to his chest.
I'm helping him.
And he puts his hand on the firewall.
On the tube of the firewall. So it will not
go.
Yeah, so there was no way this thing was going to go. I was not letting that nose down at all. Because we knew that thing is flat.
Yeah, so we want to keep as much weight off of that front end as we can. So he's got like that, and it's kind of, so the front end's kind of riding up a little bit like this. But it's on the ground, we're rolling. And all of a sudden, it just gave, it just blew.
But we got there, we landed safely, and we were able to, you know,
did you have to leave it on the, you were able to taxi it?
Yeah, I learned how real quick, because what was happening is the rubber would go to one side, and it would pull you, and so you just go opposite rudder, and then you, as you do opposite rudder, then it flips to the other side of the rim, and then you just do the opposite. You go opposite
so
of that rudder.
So he danced it all the way back.
Yeah, and he's got to have a little higher
oddly prop. Enough, nothing happened to the rim. The rim was fine.
Rim was
you
fine.
Were good to go.
The maintenance guy who started working on it yesterday, the next day, he calls me. He goes, he was from like New Zealand. He had a weird accent, I remember. And he's like, you didn't tell me that you put something in the tire. It exploded on me everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, by the way, we bought Fix-A-Flat at the gas station in Arkansas. Oh, my bad.
Oh, and he was all about it. He's like, yeah, man, you do what you got to do. I was like, all right, yeah.
And it did. It got us home.
That's
we were
amazing.
Good.
What is that?
We got a gigantic box.
That is a gigantic
I
box.
I don't know what's in it, but it's not heavy, so I don't think it's.
It's whatever. A puppy.
Is it mailed?
It's a puppy-sized box.
It's a basket.
No.
Oh.
It's like a gift basket from CBS. Bob Hart's Abishola, which is that show that
my buddy
is on, Billy Gardell. So I'm guessing he sent us this, which is really weird.
He didn't.
He had people send it, but yeah.
Still not.
And it won't stand up.
If he'd have sent us something, it would have been like fishing gear or something. What is that?
I it's a promotion for the show. I just don't know.
Oh, it's not an actual letter?
It comes with a T-shirt, lip balm, shea butter. Masks, because that's what people give each other now, and other like stuff to make.
This is like a legit.
Food.
This is like a fruit basket. It's that size, but
it's full of junk. It's full of stuff.
I would love to call him and go, "Hey, man, I know why you're not recouping with your contract with CBS because they're wasting money on sending stupid stuff on your dime."
Sending out baskets with socks. From
and that
Africa.
Are covered in.
Oh, I want some balls. African socks.
You want African socks?
Have at
yes.
You.
Oh, okay. Oh, I get the African socks.
They're literally called Afro socks.
Oh my gosh. Afro socks.
Afro socks. It's got. Why is there straw in the basket?
Dude. That's, yeah, the straw
it
is.
It could have got the effect of the basket without you
that's
putting straw
the thing. The
straw
only thing worse
it.
Is glitter. It's everywhere.
This looks like the basket Moses was in when he was a
it
child.
It does. It's like,
check for a baby.
See, yeah, you can see if Moses, baby Moses is in there. Is it wet from the water?
No, it's just.
That was a joke.
Patrick's got hay all over him now.
Yeah.
No.
Is it
there's
wet?
No baby.
I looked all over, D. Didn't see one. What'd you say his name was?
There's no baby.
The basket
where's Larry
open.
To make a Bible pun when we need one?
Dude, we definitely need your dad back. Mm-hmm. By the way, that was one of the most enjoyable podcasts we've done in a while. Having Big D's dad in here, doing Bible puns and all that was fantastic. And what a cool surprise. If you didn't get to listen to that episode or watch it on Facebook or whatever, definitely go back and look into it. It's pretty great.
Yeah, he had a good time. Yeah.
You're still going through that? You're still finding
there's
stuff?
There's more junk.
Peel off?
Here's puff
plantain chips
mix.
Oh, I'll take the plantain chips.
Is it all African?
I thought you were back on your wagon.
Yeah, like I don't even know what the shirt
is,
but it's
butter
African.
And mint candy, buttermint candy, whatever that
Does
is.
Everyone want the pilaf?
What's pilaf? Oh, like
rice pilaf.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. Well, it says phonio pilaf, the ancient West African grain. So it's not rice, but.
Why is everything African?
Because the show. It's his, the girl,
Abishola is his wife on the show, and she's from Africa.
No, spoiler, they got married?
I don't know if they got married.
Oh, okay.
I thought she was.
Mix 30 round balls. Mix ready in minutes. Puff, puff, mix.
Puff, puff.
I'm covered in hay, too.
Weeks and weeks of meetings went into this.
Oh, I can't.
Right?
Maybe months.
Oh, it's not just the amount of money they spend on this stuff. It's the amount of time and effort that they put
into selecting the basket.
Oh,
what
yes.
needs to go in the
Absolutely.
Basket. What is appropriate to put in the basket. Where can we get the products to put in the basket? Who gets the basket? What shows get this?
We have to include AfroSox.
Yes.
They that was a big one they fought over. They were like, well, that's kind of expensive. Yeah, I know, but they'll really push the show if we put in the socks.
And then they have to have a company who makes this.
Yeah.
And the company has to put it together. And then
They actually got lucky with us that the box was delivered during the podcast, because I'm not sure we would have talked about it
otherwise.
We're
going to have to get the vacuum out.
Yeah.
For all this.
But it's a
for the
very
mess?
Nice woven...
Straight up Moses basket.
It really is. Like baby Moses.
Baby Moses is, you know, going to be very comfortable in this. You could put a baby in this.
That's not. You could actually use that as a bag, a basket,
handle.
Like when you go to the store, too. It's like your, you know, reusable thing.
I don't want any of the stuff, but I'm keeping the basket.
I always think about baskets, the Rancho Riviera baskets that Betty Marie used to get us.
Oh, man. She passed away this past week.
That, by the way, when I see a basket, everything compares to hers because she would go anytime we would do an event and we would get to the station or whatever, she would always take care of us. And I just.
She's always waiting for us in our rooms.
Yes.
They'd always
like it was already pre-done and there. And she was
so
just
nice.
The sweetest, absolute
Wonderful.
Coolest person ever. And Good sadly, answer. We lost her. And it's just, I just, baskets totally remind me of her.
Yeah. Well, thanks, CBS. That was really nice.
All right.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, that was fun.
All right, we done?
You're going to tease us? You're not going to play the whole thing?
Oh, well, fine.
Right door is open.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I even put a little echo on there.
Did you?
I did.
Right door is open.
Oh. She sounds like she's in Star Trek now.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all later on. Again... we do have a cool little guest. If you're listening on the podcast, we'll tell you about it here in just a moment. But till then, bye.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Hey, Richard Casper is joining us in the studio. He's the guy behind CreativeVets, and this is a great organization, and we always love having you in.
It's been a while since we've talked. Years ago, we talked, and you were just kind of getting this whole thing started, and we met through some songwriter friends of ours. They did They Call Me Doc, Walker McGuire. Unbelievable. Probably one of the most popular videos we have ever seen on YouTube. That isn't like Gangnam Style or something weird. But you were kind of starting this thing where you wanted to help heal veterans by using song.
Yeah, and that was our ninth song, just so you know how new we were to everything. Like our ninth veteran that came through, and now we're over 100 songs. And back then, too, we used to just write with veterans at either mainly like songwriters' houses and sometimes publishing companies if we were lucky. But now we have a partnership with the Grand Ole Opry, so we write backstage at the Grand Ole Opry with these number one and pro songwriters.
That's
it's
so
been
cool.
Insane, this growth that we've had over the years.
And you've flown people in, and do they come in, or is it just people that are local to the Grand Ole Opry? And
Suicide isn't geolocated in one place, so I want to give this option to any veteran anywhere in the country struggling. So CreativeVets always paid for their flights, their food, their housing, to tell their story for the first time with these writers.
You know, when you think about things that help our veterans, this is probably one of the more unique ones. And do you have what are the results like when they finish it and they tell you how their experience was? What do they tell you?
It's always insane because I would say probably even in these rites, about 70% of the vendors that come here always say, hey, this is the first time I've ever told anybody this. And they just let out something in the writing session that they want to put in this song, because in the process, so before when they're telling me like, Richard, I can't talk about this, but I had to do this when I was in Iraq, or I saw this happen, and how do I explain this to my wife? Like I never want to have to tell her this. And then they come to the room and they start talking, and at first it's just kind of like, you know, here's a little bit of my story. But the moment they hear those words in a song played back to them, even the first little line, all of a sudden it's almost like word vomit. And they just start telling us things, yeah, that they never talked about, to the point to when we're done with that song and we have a little work tape on their phone, the first person they text that song to is their wife, yeah, and their friends. And they're like, listen to the song I just wrote. So it's legitimately remapping the way that they think about that negative experience and putting a positive twist on it. And then people are having conversations about that intense stuff in the song. It's been incredible.
That's so cool. Well, there is a new album called Veteran Songs. There's 11 songs on this, and they're written by combat veterans struggling with post-traumatic stress and different issues. And we want to kind of listen to a little bit of it. Richard Casper is our guest. We're co-founder of Creative Vets. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about the album and hear a little bit of it. By the way, if you want to get more information, you can go online, creativevets.org. It's CREATIVETS.org, Creative Vets. Kind of like
Creative Vets.
But yeah.
But like combined.
Yeah, creativevets.org. We'll come right back. Hang on. Hey, in the studio is Richard Casper. He's co-founder of Creative Vets. It is an organization that takes our combat veterans in and with songwriters, and they kind of it's therapy. It is a creative outlet, and it's helping so many.
And it's informative. That's something too, is because you're hearing a story in this veteran's words in a way that they would never tell you face to face, because it's just not something they want to tell. How many times do we hear the story, oh, my grandfather passed away and I never really found out what he did in the war, or my dad passed away and I didn't know exactly what he went through. This is a way for you to get into their brain.
So what's this album about? Like, what's the one that we should maybe kind of listen to here if we got the album?
So what I tried to do with this, because we had a bigger donation come in, a grant that helped us expand our program. So instead of helping one veteran at a time, we were able to fly in five veterans at a time and then do a full recording of these songs. So I only could choose, and that's why they call me Doc, didn't end up on this, because I only could choose from the last 25 songs we had written, because they're the ones that we had mastered. And so what I did with those was I picked a few from every different type of veteran. So I picked a few that were directly relationship bound, like a veteran talking to his wife for the first time about some of the experiences. Some that are just family. There's a song about from a dad to his kids saying, you know, I'm broken, but I feel I'm broken when I'm with you. Like, so he can explain it to them for the first time. And there's a few war story, just straight up war story songs on there. And then a few inspirational songs, because every veteran kind of needs to hear that they need to pull themselves up.
Yeah. What do you got here, Bubba?
This is called Need Savin'. And Brian Davis is the veteran?
No, he's a singer.
Oh, the singer.
He wrote One Hell of an Amen.
Blackbird flying into the fire. Another nine line coming through the wire. Dust off, dust off. Time to fly blind to a midnight sky. St. Michael's medallion in my hand. Control crash in the desert sand. Enemy fire, a bleeding man. Turning burns as fast as we can. I didn't come here for a fight. You sent me here to save lives. But I'm losing my faith, losing my patience. That is taken. God, I'm the one leading, saving.
Wow.
Golly.
Holy, I like goosebumps,
These
man.
These songs are so great, and I love, it's, you know, when you hear songs that are like that, it's great, but then when you realize this is...
It's a true story.
From
this
a
is,
real
this
veteran.
This is the, from this guy's heart.
Yeah. It brings it out more. It's tangible.
Yeah, we have those songs too. They're pretty universal. Like, there's another song in here called Stories that could be for firefighters, police officers, any kind of first responders. It just talks about these stories that you need to get out. But these stories, like Stu's, the one that you just heard, Need Saving, these are the ones that just I mean, they educate, like you said, like my grandpa never told me this story. Like, these are the stories that we need to be talking about, because these put you in their shoes and make you relate for the first time. And it's just, it's insane, these songs.
I want to share this one, stories. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a firefighter. So I'm going to judge you now and see if this works for my crew.
There's the ones that I can tell you, and they'd probably take your breath. But they're nothing like the ones that I can't talk about yet. They call me a hero, but I ain't no saint. Everything that they don't know, I wish I could say. Where I go when I close my eyes at night, I was taught to keep them locked up inside my mind. They're buried in the darkest place, underneath the guilt and shame. Life is a living hell when it hurts this bad to tell story.
Yeah, it's pretty legit.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's been through that. If you firefighter, police officer, it's always these things that you go through that you just can't talk about. And it's not that,
dude. I see the moments. Stuff. Look at me, man. I'm like
the album's called Veterans Veteran Songs, and you can get it now. And the proceeds will help go to expand this program, so you can do more for our veterans. You can go to creativevets.org and get all the information and the album, and also how you just want to, if you just want to help. You'll take money.
Yeah,
right, we'll take money to help our veterans for sure. Richard Casper, thanks, man. We appreciate it. It's so good to see you again, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so glad you guys brought me back.
The website creativevets.org.